Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. You can also stream the show on YouTube and Twitch. We have so much to get into in this 5 o'clock hour. Before we move ahead, I would just like to play a very simple game. Rob, usually we play this game at the start of the 2 o'clock hour. We were a little bit busy. I kind of forgot. Raise your hand if your college basketball team won this weekend. It feels good that I can participate in this. I didn't get an opportunity to participate in this at any point, really, last year. So now that I get a chance to do this, Rob, my hand was up. Your hand was up. I see Willie the Wildcat over there. His hand was not up. Now, we'll play this game one more time here. Make sure you follow the rules. Raise your hand if your team got beat by 30 points this weekend. My hand is down. I can't raise my hand. K-State fan, what happened here? What happened? Because I remember not that long ago, man, y'all was doing victory laps. Y'all was throwing parades. You guys were Tang Gang. It was great. Now you guys getting 30 pieces at the crib. All right, good luck. Hey, good luck. You know what? I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on Wild Card Weekend talking about a team that's not going to make the NIT. I just want to make sure that we're covering the hits. I want to make sure that we're covering everything that happened this weekend in local sports. All right, I would like to start here very, very serious. There are two pretty tangible benefits to being the one seed. I think we saw both of those things this weekend with the Chiefs. Number one is obviously you advance to the second round. You don't have to play in the first round. We can have the conversation about rest versus rust, and Mitch Holt has talked about it, and Rob, you want to cut the answer, we can play it for people so they can hear what Mitch has to say about, I would say there are two major talking points heading into Saturday's game. Number one is who's going to play left tackle. We'll see if we get that question answered coming up tomorrow when Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, and everybody speaks to the media. So we'll see if we get that question. And Mitch said it. This is the greatest amount of time that a quarterback has had in between his final regular season start and his first start of the postseason with Patrick Mahomes. What does that mean? Now the Chiefs have had long rest and long bye weeks before, and it didn't really seem to matter to them. They still got to where they needed to go. But I do think that that is going to be more and more of a talking point as we get closer and closer to the game. But number one is you automatically advance to the second round. That's big. You play less playoff games than a majority of all the other teams. That's number one. And the second thing that is a big benefit is it's your path. The Chiefs get Houston in the second round. And no disrespect to Houston, but you much rather play Houston than play the other two teams that are left in the AFC playoffs. But that's the reward that you get for dominating the regular season the way that the Chiefs did. You get the rest. You get to relax. You get to take care of your family life, take care of your home life, maybe go on a vacation with your girl. It is your bye week. Andy, I'm sure, gave the guys some time. Hey, for two, three days, you guys do what you need to do. Don't pop up on TMZ. I don't want to hear any news stories about you guys. And when you come back, be back ready to work and let's go win the Super Bowl. I'm sure that they got that time. So that's the one part of it. And then the second part is you knew who the three big dogs were in the AFC. You had Kansas City, Baltimore, and Buffalo. And whichever team got the one seed, they were going to have a path where they didn't have to beat the other two teams. Last year, the Chiefs didn't have the ideal regular season, and they put themselves in a position where you had to be the team to win two of those games back-to-back. You had to go on the road and play Buffalo in the second round while Baltimore got Houston, and then you had to go on the road and beat the Baltimore Ravens. Now, you won both of those games. Congratulations. This year, you're the team that gets to host the AFC Championship game in theory, and now Buffalo and Baltimore, they got to play each other, and this is the way that I think it should be. I don't want to look too far ahead against Houston because I do have respect for Houston as a team, but Kansas City has lost one time in the last 20 months. I'm not that worried about this individual game. I feel pretty good heading into this game. But now, Buffalo or Baltimore, one of those teams has to do what you did last season. They got to beat the other team, and then they got to go on the road, and they got to knock off the one seed. This is how the AFC was supposed to be. So, Rob, as we're heading into the divisional round, as we're going to take a look back to wildcard weekend, that was the thing that stood out to me the most, is this is the reward of what you get by being the one seed. You get the rest, and you also, in theory, get the easier path than the other two teams that didn't do what you did in the regular season. And now, if you want to go to the Super Bowl, if you're Buffalo or Baltimore, you got to beat two really good teams in back-to-back weeks in order to go to New Orleans.
I think beyond just the rest factor, which is obviously enormous, and you laid out there perfectly, man, the biggest thing to me with the bye, and it's not some earth-shattering take, man, you got to avoid two bullies. I know Kansas City fans will talk about how they don't think Baltimore can actually beat Kansas City because Lamar's never done it, and they'll, you know, disparage Josh Allen because he's never done the playoffs, and that's fine. I don't disagree with you, whatever. But there's a class system in the AFC. There's only one in the NFC, too. We don't care about the NFC as much. There's a class system. The Chiefs are probably in a class of their own, and then one notch below is Buffalo and Baltimore. Do you know what the advantage is of having the bye other than just the rest? You don't have to face both of those teams. You only have to face one. Buffalo or Baltimore is going to have to go through the other team and then likely go through Kansas City. It is the best possible case for the Chiefs. The Texans, you're right. I don't want to, you know, crush the Texans. I have respect for the Texans, but they aren't in the same weight class. The Texans are the best featherweight fighter left in the playoffs. Hey, there's no disrespect to being a featherweight fighter. That's better than the average person could do, and you get a belt, and you get a lot of money, and you get fame, and you get notoriety. But you ain't a heavyweight. You ain't in the light heavyweight class. You aren't super famous. You're a featherweight. And the Chiefs don't have to face both number one contenders in their weight class. They only have to face one. And you know what usually happens when two really good teams face each other? Injury, wear and tear, roster attrition. So you will face them at likely less than their best. That is almost as important to me as anything else. The rest after 3 games, 11 days, excuse me, is super valuable. Patrick Mahomes being able to kick his feet up and worry only about the birth of his child and not football for a month is fantastic. But beyond all that, the Buffalo Bills are going to have to play the Baltimore Ravens on Sunday, and the Chiefs are going to have to play a team that's not in that league, basically. They're basically getting a middle-of-the-pack type of team, and that's almost as valuable to me as the actual rest to heal the body.
I mean, you and I talked about there being five teams in the VIP room in the National Football League, and this weekend, two of those teams got the one seed, so you automatically advance. Detroit and Kansas City, they both advance. We've seen two of the other three of those teams play. Those other two teams did exactly what they were supposed to do. Buffalo was far better than Denver, and Baltimore was far better than the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now we'll see what happens coming up in just a little bit with the Minnesota Vikings, a team that you and I both think is in that conversation. The Eagles also did what they were supposed to do and clearly look superior to the Green Bay Packers. I do think that this year you have seen sort of the cream rise to the top. It is obvious the teams that can actually win this thing and the teams that can't. Houston is not a team that I think can win the Super Bowl. Kansas City obviously is one of those kind of teams, and I don't want to get too far ahead because we got all week to preview this game, but I think that you are going to see that showcase itself Saturday at Arrowhead. There is a difference between a Super Bowl contending team and a playoff team. We saw that last year whenever Houston went on the road to play the Ravens. I think we'll see something very similar come up on Saturday at Arrowhead, as Houston is a good team. This is just a fight above their weight class. I'm just not super confident in their ability to be able to go on the road and beat the Kansas City Chiefs. So that's obviously one side of it when taking a look at Wild Card Weekend. The other thing is this. I want to apologize to you guys. You guys have sat here for however long you have done it, and I'm grateful. And I have told you guys about the Chargers. And at one point, we blamed Brandon Staley for Justin Herbert's problems. It was the offensive coordinator. They were too aggressive on fourth down. It was the injuries. It has always been something with Justin Herbert. And heading into this game, just last week, we can pull the audio. I was talking about how, man, I felt kind of good about the Chargers. I felt like they were kind of salty in this. They got the better coach, the better quarterback. They had the best defense by a lot of metrics in the National Football League. No team gave up fewer points than the Los Angeles Chargers. I felt pretty good about the Chargers heading into the postseason. Have you guys heard the story about the Emperor's new clothes? The story is the Emperor is walking around and he doesn't have any clothes on. And everybody is telling him how nice he looks. And he's walking through the middle of town. And the only person that is honest with him is the kid. The kid sees that the Emperor doesn't have any clothes on. I'm telling you guys that you are the kid in this analogy. That everybody in the media, and I will put myself here, I'm at the front of the list. I have my hand up. Be mad at me. Have been telling you how good Justin Herbert is and how you guys are wrong about them and how this is a different Los Angeles Chargers and now they got this coach and they got this weapon and how great Ladd McConkey is. We've been selling you the Los Angeles Chargers. The only people that have been saying, no, we don't want it, have been Kansas City Chiefs fans. You guys have seen through the nonsense. You guys have seen the Chargers for what they are. They're frauds. They're fraudulent is what they are. I want to read to you guys a definition of a word. The word is catfish, and it's a slang term. If you go on Urban Dictionary, this is what it defines a catfish as. Someone who creates a fake online identity to trick others into believing that they are real. That's what Justin Herbert is. He has been masquerading as an elite quarterback right before our very eyes. 6'6", 235, throws for 5,000 yards, 35 touchdown passes. We get CBS Sports to make these cool graphics where it's, well, look at Justin Herbert's first 7 years of his career, and then look at Patrick Mahomes. Look at Justin Herbert's first 7 years, and look at Dan Marino. We come up with these cool stats to tell you how good Justin Herbert is, and then eventually it's time for you to go out there and prove it in a real game. Not these hypothetical games, a real game. I'm talking about wild card weekend against two weak opponents from the AFC South. The first time you lost was one of the most epic collapses in wild card history. The second time was you guys got completely outclassed by a team that scored 2 points in front of Beyonce on Christmas. Embarrassing. I am telling you that I have been had, hoodwinked, took, led astray, run amok. But I come to you guys asking for your forgiveness. I will never talk up Justin Herbert again on this show. Never. Under any circumstance. And if I do, I need you guys to hold me accountable is what I need you to do. Don't let me do it again. Don't let me talk up the Chargers. Don't let me believe in the Chargers. Don't let me tell you that this is different because I know what the Chargers will do. Like a catfish, they got new pictures. Oh, the Chargers can't wait to go out in the offseason and they'll spend money on a big-time free agent. They'll go get T. Higgins to try to bring me back because they know I love T. Higgins and they'll give him a legitimate number one weapon and then they'll have Ladd McConkey and then they'll go get another running back and I will talk myself into the Chargers being different, how they're actually going to do something. They'll never do anything with Justin Herbert. He's not real. He's 26 years old. He has as many playoff wins as you and I do. He's 0-2. He wasn't close in either of those two. He threw 504 passes in the regular season and had 3 interceptions. He threw 32 passes on Saturday and had 4 interceptions. He is not real. He's the guy who shoots 90% from the free throw line in February, and then in March he missed 3 straight free throws with the next round on the line. I will never believe in Justin Herbert again. Ever. Ever again in my life. And if I do and you see me, slap me immediately. I don't care where I am. Text in, Carrington, you're an idiot. You're a loser. Don't ever let me buy into Justin Herbert again. I'm disappointed. I'm frustrated. I'm not doing it. And I'm also starting a new rule. This is for today and today only. If you call me Chargers dot on the text line, I'm blocking you. I'm serious. I'm blocking you. I'm telling you right now, I don't want to be called that anymore. I'm changing my name officially. I don't want to be Cassius Clay anymore. I want you to call me Muhammad Ali. Don't call me Chargers Dot anymore. There was a time I used to embrace that, but my family has threatened to disown me. My mom wouldn't even let me in the house this weekend. She said, I don't want to be associated with you. Don't call me Chargers out on the text line. I'm blocking you. I can't do it anymore. I'm out. They've hurt me for the last time. I already cheer for Missouri. Why would I sign up for more recreational disappointment? I've got enough. I don't need any more. I don't want any part of it. So, Rob, are we straight now? I've apologized to you. I'm apologizing to anybody that's listening right now. I will never talk up the Chargers. I will never believe in the Chargers again on this show under one condition. For the remainder of today, don't call me Chargers dot anymore. Or you're out of here. You'll never text the show again. You're gone. You want to do the hits?
Let's do the hits.
Okay.
Your workday is over.
Oh, yeah.
You're headed home, and now you're stuck in traffic. Time to get caught up on the biggest stories in Kansas City and around the country with CDOT and Rob. It's time for the hits. Number one.
That's terrible, bro. They were a three-point favorite, and they got dominated. I saw a stat. Can I read a stat to you? Turn the music down again. I got to get all this chargerness out of my system. It's been flowing through my veins for so long. The spirit of the Chargers have been flowing through me. And I'm trying to get it out. Over the last 10 seasons, there have been 214 quarterback performances in the playoffs. Justin Herbert's game on Saturday was 213th. The only playoff performance worse than Justin Herbert's in the last 10 years was Brian Hoyer's in the playoff game against the Chiefs back in 2015 or whenever that was, where the Chiefs beat him 30-0. You remember that was the Nile Davis game. He was 14 of 32. He threw four interceptions. He had a passer rating of 40.9. The only person who had a worse weekend than Justin Herbert was Jerome Tang. He was the only person who had a worse weekend. Never again will he fool me. No. He is Ryan Tannehill with better hair is who he is. He is Mike Glennon from a college that you actually know. I'm not doing this anymore with Justin Herbert. You have fooled me for the last and final time. You have fooled me.
Number two.
Catching the hit. There we go. Catching the hits are brought to you by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu.
I'm laughing. The beat overtook you.
Yeah, that was a lot. Speaking of Baker University alumnus Mike McCarthy is out of here today in Dallas.
He went to Baker?
I'm pretty sure he went to Baker, yeah.
Oh, wow. I did not know that.
Mike McCarthy, a local.
I learned something today. I really did have absolutely no clue. I had absolutely no clue.
He is out with the Dallas Cowboys. That is the biggest story of the day in the NFL. Two-part question for you, Carrington. First and foremost, are you surprised by the disorganization and just genuine confusion that led to Mike McCarthy being fired a week after everyone else? And what's next for Jerry Jones and them Cowboys?
How can you be surprised at the Cowboys being the Cowboys? How can you do that? Are you surprised? Just last week, a team reached out to try to trade for Mike McCarthy, and the Cowboys declined it. They declined the opportunity to trade with him. And now they don't want him back as their head coach? No, I'm not surprised at all that the Cowboys don't have all their ducks in a row. I'm not surprised that the Cowboys' house is not in order. In fact, that actually checks out with what's happened the last 30 years right before our eyes, that they're not on the same page and they don't really know what direction that they're going. The question to me is, what's next for the Cowboys? Because they let Mike McCarthy go, and I understand it in some ways. Now, I don't really think they really gave Mike McCarthy the parts this season to go out there, and it always kind of felt like his house was kind of built on sand. The one year that you did something wrong, a year in which Dak Prescott didn't play the second half of the season, you brought back Ezekiel Elliott. Like, the Cowboys made a lot of unfortunate missteps along the way, but they have been on shaky ground. Mike McCarthy didn't come through. You set a standard. He didn't meet it. He's got to go. I get it. Who wants the Cowboys job right now? You've locked yourself into an over 30-year-old quarterback in Dak Prescott. You don't really have a whole lot of skill position players. And you got an owner that wants to be the superstar and face of the organization. Is the Cowboys job a great job? If you're Ben Johnson, for example, and you are the number one candidate out there, are you taking the Cowboys job? I don't know if you would take it. If I'm the Cowboys, I call the Steelers and see what it would take for us to get Mike Tomlin. That's what I do if I'm them. I get on the phone and I tell them, you know that we have a job opening and we are interested in, can we trade for Mike Tomlin? What would it take for us to trade for Mike Tomlin? I think that's the best possible thing that they can do. The Cowboys have the 44th overall pick in this year's NFL draft. I am offering that up right now for Mike Tomlin. I think that is fair compensation for who he is. You got a good, solid head coach, stable head coach, and you can move forward if you're the Dallas Cowboys. That's what I would do. I think that's their best case scenario for where they are. What direction do you think the Cowboys go? Who do you think their next coach is? I certainly hope. I understand who he is. If their plan to fire Mike McCarthy is to hire a Division I coach who has been in D1 for 2 years and just got completely outclassed in the Alamo Bowl, if that's the plan, they deserve all the bad things that can possibly happen to them for making that decision. We all love Deion. He's great. He's a great showman. It works in college when you can convince kids to come play and sign up for the primetime experience. I don't know if that's working as the head coach of the National Football League team. I don't know if you're walking into a meeting the same way that you did in Colorado and tell the players, I'm bringing my luggage with me and it's Louis. I don't know if you can tell that to a group of NFL players, some of them that make more than you do.
I don't think it will be Deion, but Deion's name is going to be floated a lot in the next however long this job is open. I think the answer is Kellen Moore, to who I think the Cowboys are going to hire. He was, I think he played there as a backup quarterback. Yeah. They hired him as OC.
Yeah,
he has cowboy roots, and we had RJ Choppy on the show earlier. He does the morning show at 105 through the Fan in Dallas, and he's said something that just stuck out to me. Jerry Jones was to hire someone that he gets the credit for finding that person or bringing back that person's career because they're a retread head coach. Jerry Jones is not interested in winning. He's interested in the credit that comes along with winning. And Kellen Moore would check those boxes. Kellen Moore would probably do some winning in Dallas and everyone would be happy with the winning. It would be very Mike McCarthy-ish, but Jerry Jones get all the credit for finding this hotshot OC young guy, making him OC, and then turning him into a head coach guy. He's the OC in Philly now. Look how good Philly. It feels like that's the way it's going to go, and that just feels very underwhelming for the Cowboys.
So coming up on the other side, there's a couple of things that I want to do. Number one, I think all of the remaining playoff teams have a certain thing in common. I'll tell you what that is. And I also want to play for you guys what Mitch Holtz has had to say. I think there's two major questions that the Chiefs are going to be faced with this week coming up. It is the rest versus rust argument, and did the Chiefs have too much time off? And who is their starting left tackle is going to be? I think it should be Joe Tooney, but I wouldn't put it past them to have DJ Humphries be their left tackle. They move Joe Tooney back to his original position, and that's their offensive line for the Houston game. So two major questions. We'll get to it next coming up. Keep it right here. It's 96.5 The Fan.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
All right. I've noticed a couple of things about the teams that are remaining in the NFL postseason. This is more of a message to the teams that are outside the club. Not the ones that are inside the club. They got bottles. They got sparklers in there. They got pretty girls in there. Not you. You're in the club. I'm talking about the teams that are outside in the line, standing in the cold, asking why the doorman won't let them in. Look at the four teams that are left in the AFC. Kansas City spent the top 10 pick on its quarterback. Houston spent a top 3 pick on its quarterback. Buffalo, top 10 pick. Baltimore spent a first round pick. It's too many teams thinking they can do it a different way. It's too many teams thinking, well, I know this guy used to be really good, but now he's 42 years old. Let's trade for him and hope that it works. Every quarterback in the AFC was drafted in the first round as under the age of 30. I don't think that's a coincidence. Even if Houston had lost to the Chargers, guess what? The Chargers quarterback is under 30. Even if Buffalo had lost, guess what? Their quarterback, Broncos quarterback, is Bo Nix. He's under 30. If you don't have a capable quarterback under the age of 30 that you have spent a significant resource on, why are we talking about you? Look at the NFC, the Lions. I know that he was not their pick. Jared Goff, the second overall pick in the draft. Jaden Daniels, top pick. Jalen Hurts, second round pick. Borderline Heisman winner. Great quarterback. Look at the Vikings. Look at the Rams. Matthew Stafford, number one overall pick. Sam Darnold, former top 10 pick. Sometimes football is simple. I know this is going to sound crazy, but usually the best NFL quarterbacks are the highest rated and highly touted draft prospects from college. It's like we know that at almost every other position, and then at quarterback, we think it can be different. Like, you can get Will Levis in the second round and like, oh, well, we'll make it work. All right. I mean, he was the seventh quarterback taken. Look at where these guys were taken. Mahomes, third quarterback on the board. C.J. Stroud, second quarterback on the board. Josh Allen, third quarterback. You're not finding your quarterback if he was the ninth quarterback in his class. That's not where you're finding your Super Bowl quarterback from. He might be capable. He might be viable. You know, he might be all right. I'm not saying we don't get good second or third round quarterbacks. But if you think that you're hitting with the 11th quarterback in your class, you're wasting your time. If you think you're going into next season and you're going to try to squeeze some more magic out of Russell Wilson, I'm telling you that your season, it's not going to go very far. If you think that Kirk Cousins is coming in, Gardner Minshew, if that's your plan, you're not doing anything. If you're one of the other 12 teams in the AFC, for the last two seasons, it has been the same four quarterbacks, the same four coaches, the same four teams. Kansas City, Houston, Baltimore, Buffalo. What are we doing to counteract them? If you're the Raiders, if you're these other teams that are looking to get your program, your operation back on track, have you heavily invested in your quarterback? Do you think you have it right at head coach? Because if the answer to either one of those questions is no, you're just out there playing football for the vibes. You're not competing for the playoffs. You're not competing to win the Super Bowl. And I thought that was the purpose of this. I thought that's why we're doing this. Pittsburgh, you guys don't have a chance. You might not have the right head coach, and you guys keep trying to play musical chairs. One year it's Duck Hodges. One year it's Mason Rudolph. One year it's stop it. Keep trying to find that guy. Find your Bo Nix. Find your Josh Allen. Find your under 30-year-old, highly touted, high draft pick quarterback. It's not that complicated. We had Mitch Holtz as voice of the Kansas City Chiefs on the show earlier today, and we asked him the big question. There are two major questions to me regarding the Chiefs heading into their postseason game. Question number one, who's going to play left tackle for Kansas City? We don't know yet. We'll see. Question number two is the age-old debate of rest versus rust. Here's what Mitch Holtz had to say about it.
Since the league has gone to 17 games, and the fact that the Kansas City Chiefs, for some of this roster, has played six seasons in five, those young guys that I mentioned, think about how many playoff games. They've played seven playoff games added to a 17-17-17. So that's 51. That's 58 games they have played in a three-year span. And those have been high-stress games against the hardest schedule in the National Football League. So my point to you is to use the college football playoff argument is worthy one, but they didn't play 17 games. And none of those teams played 58 games in 3 years. This team, for it to back up mentally and emotionally, I've seen what happens to this team. If you think I'm refreshed, so is Andy Reid. So is Patrick Mahomes. So is Travis Kelce. So is Justin Reed. So is Chris Jones. And if that leads to a slow start, I don't think it will last long. I don't think this is a team that wants to get down 24-7 to this Houston team like it did in 2019. But I'm telling you, the best chance this team has for a historic three-peat, which would transcend NFL history, it would be American sport history, is the fact that they got this bye in these 23 days to get ready for this push.
We'll talk about this as the week continues. I'm sure we'll get the Chiefs' answer to this. Patrick Mahomes is going to be on the show tomorrow. I'll ask him about the debate of rest versus rust. I'm sure Andy is going to be asked about this. You guys might not like the question, but it is a question that people are going to have coming into the divisional round. Kansas City has played by far and away their best football of the season, and then they just had a hard stop. They had a hard stop. At Christmas, they were done. Christmas was a long time ago. It was from Christmas until the 18th of January. That is a long time off. And for a team that has historically started slow in these games, how quickly do they come out on Saturday against Houston? And is this game maybe a little closer for comfort because it takes the Chiefs maybe 15, 20 minutes to kind of get going until they kind of look like themselves? I do think that's going to be a question that's asked. Maybe Kansas City comes out here refreshed, rejuvenated, first scripted 15 plays. They go right down the field. They don't answer any of those questions. But there aren't a lot of holes I think you can poke in Kansas City right now. Their quarterback is energized. They have both of their running backs. This is the deepest their wide receiver room has been, in my opinion, since the Tyreek Hill trade. Your defense is playing at a really high level. The Chiefs are coming in and should feel great about themselves. What could stop this run? What could stop what appears to me to be another appearance in the Super Bowl? It could be potentially starting slow against a team that we throw out the term and definition, house money. I can't think of a team that has more house money than the Houston Texans. Very few people are going to be picking Houston on Saturday. You got a quarterback that's got a little special something. You got maybe the best defense left in the postseason. I'm not completely looking past Houston, but if Houston wins this game, it will be the biggest upset since Tennessee beat the Ravens, what was that, 6-7 years ago. That's how big of an upset I think this can potentially be. Kansas City is clearly superior to Houston in just about every single aspect of this game. What could help them pull off the upset? It could be the fact that the Chiefs have had an unprecedented amount of time off. Keep it right here. It's The Drive on 96.5. The Fan coming up. We'll get you ready for the final wild card game coming up later between Minnesota and Los Angeles.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for K-State Athletics. 96.5. The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
So this weekend, I took my daughter sledding. She is 4, about to turn 5. So this is her first time going sledding. Rob, she was really excited about it. Really excited. Are we going sledding? Yeah. Went to the hardware store, got the sleds. My mom and my sister came. It was the 4 of us. We were going to go sledding. So we walk up to the hill, and my daughter's a little nervous about it. You know, you're 4. This is your first time doing it. We go down the hill. I've never heard a shriek, a scream like that. I saw it on her face. I saw the fear as she was going down the hill. She gets to the bottom. She starts laughing, asking, can we do it again? I'm like, you must have had fun. So I'm like, yeah, let's do it. I don't know why I didn't think this whole thing through, because going down the hill, Rob, was a lot of fun. It was that walking up the hill. It was that walking up the hill. You start walking, and then I got to carry her. I got to carry the sled. I'm doing this. And I got back up there. I'm huffing and puffing. I'm like, maybe I should have found a different activity for us to do today. Now, it ended up being fun. You know, it was a good time. She had fun. We were having a great time. But the next day, Rob, I felt like I went 8 rounds with Mike Tyson. Young Mike, not the Mike that we just saw fight Jake Paul. Not that. I didn't want to fight that one. I mean, I felt like I went 8 rounds. Parts of my body were hurting, and I didn't know I had muscles there before. The winter's tough. I had to shovel the snow a couple of days ago. That was tiring. I don't feel like summer is that tiring. I really don't feel like it's that tiring. I had to walk up that hill. I had ice and snow all on me. I'm tired. I'm carrying these sleds. It was a tiring experience. Rob, when was the last time you went sledding? When was the last time this happened for you?
College. Lawrence is all hills. You've been to enough KU basketball games, all hills.
So why you gotta say it like that? See what I mean? You be throwing a lot of shots there.
That's a fact. You've been to a handful of Kansas basketball games in your life.
I have been to a handful.
You recognize there's a lot of hills. You know what you do when you're in Lawrence to get a snow day? You pop a few ice cold ones, and you get out there with your sled and you go up and down those hills. But that's different than doing it with a kid in tow. That would be a lot more work.
Is there certain hill, like in Brookside, they have Suicide Hill, so they're like, hey, this is where all the kids go. Is there a certain place in Lawrence that's known, this is where the kids are going to go sledding at? Is there a spot?
there's one for the college kids, one for like the Lawrence kids. Like over by the football stadium, you go down that one, that's more like kiddie. On the other side of the football stadium, into the parking lot, it's a little more steep. That's where the kids are actually sledding, and it's a little more speed-oriented.
That's what I'm for you. That's what I'm here for. It was funny watching it, you know, as a kid, because in the beginning, it's new, so you're scared. And then just over time, at first, it was like, hey, can we go down together? So we had to then, you know, I had to sit in the sled, and she would sit in my lap. We would go down the thing. Or I'd be in one sled, she'd be in the other one. We'd go down. I'm kind of holding her all the way down, and she was fine. By the end of this thing, she's grabbing the sled by herself and going down. And I'm like, you know what, man, I felt very accomplished on Saturday. I felt like I did something. This was basically my time leading into the first quarter of the Chargers game. And then I went there and I'm like, oh, man, you know what? I took the Chargers -3. I'm thinking, man, it's about to be easy, man. I'm about to go ahead and cash this. Yeah, it was a FanDuel donation is what I made on Saturday. A FanDuel donation. Now, this might be the least football way of describing a game ever. I think the Rams are winning today. I think the Rams are winning. I can just see it right now. At the end of the game, they're interviewing Sean McVay. He's telling you about how stressful this week has been and giving his thoughts and prayers. I can just see it, folks. I think the last game of the weekend, you can just see the sports story building right before our eyes. I think the Rams are pulling off the upset today. I had a lot of fun. We'll obviously get to more Chiefs and Texans as the week progresses. Tomorrow, Patrick Mahomes will be on the show. He will be on the show tomorrow. Really excited to catch up with him. It's been a while since he's been on the show. We'll start our transition and get you ready for the divisional round. Keep it right here on 96.5 The Fan.